We're glad to be able to get together again in this way, and we pray that this time would be profitable for each one. I was thinking of what has occurred this week, and my wife and I, family lived in Nova Scotia for 15 years, and they've had a real tragedy in this last weekend. And I'd just like to pray for them as we begin the day, as well as pray for us as we spend these moments together. Father, we just ask you to bring help and comfort to those in Nova Scotia who have had this horrendous event of all these deaths. And we pray that people will find their help and hope in the Lord during this time. And Father, we think of all the people who are still stranded because of this virus, some who are very ill because of this virus. We want to lift them up to you as well. And the leaders of our land, that they would have wisdom to know what to do, how to do it, when to do it, in order to protect the people. And Father, we pray for ourselves. We know that you are a God who loves us, and we just ask for your help and your guidance. May our time together truly be directed by your Spirit. So we just entrust these moments to you in Christ's name. Amen. One well-known Christian writer has said, "I have found myself more than ever in need of hope. Solid, stable, sure hope. Hope to press on, hope to endure." When we think of all the things going on in our world, we realize there is a need for hope. And maybe you are right at that moment, right in this time, really desperately feeling a sense of need for hope. And so we come back to this whole theme, and we want to just ask you a question. Are you there? Are you feeling desperate? Are you feeling discouraged? Are you feeling hopeless? We come to this study, and we realize many people around the world, for a variety of reasons, are just feeling overwhelmed. So again, we just want to ask God to give us the hope that comes from him. And we have defined hope as confident expectation that God has something great ahead for his kids. Now, do you have that kind of expectation? What are you looking for? God extends to us hope in the midst of a broken and brutal world at times. Psalm 39:7 reads this way, "And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you." My hope is in you. God is the object of ultimate hope, of legitimate hope. Hope is in the Lord because of his amazing love and his awesome power. When I think of his love, I'm reminded of Psalms 130, verse 7 it says, "Put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love." Unfailing love. His love will not fail those who know him, those who have turned to him. God's love is extended. And also, he is God not only of he loves us, but he has all the power we need in order to endure and to get through life. One passage in Jeremiah 32 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth. Your great power and by your outstretched arm." And then it says, "Nothing is too difficult for you." When a person comes to trust Christ as their Savior, these two components are absolutely essential. God's love for us, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, his love, by sending Christ to die in our place. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's God's love. But also, we need his power, and his power is expressed in the resurrection of Christ as he came up from the dead. And as we've celebrated recently, the Easter season, we think of Christ's death on the cross and then his resurrection. So that gives us the basis for the gospel, which is the message that gives us real hope. Not just in time, not just to get through this week, but the hope for eternity. And we, our desire is that each one listening has put their faith in Christ and is able to embrace the hope that God offers. But what are you anticipating? What are you looking forward to? One of my grandsons, he had a birthday party. His mom and dad put this birthday party on. And of course, he was, you know, he thoroughly enjoyed it. And after the party was over and his little friends went home and his mom was cleaning the aftermath of the party, trying to pick things up and clean things up and get the kitchen back to normal. And he said to his mom, he says, "I can't wait for my next birthday party." Well, if we're getting a little older, we may not be waiting for our next birthday. But boy, what he was anticipating is that next party, right? You know what? What are you anticipating? What are you looking forward to? What is your hope in? Now, God, if we find our hope in the Lord, we just want to go through some things that we can anticipate, that we can have great confidence that it's coming because of God's love and his power. And the first we find is the concept of salvation. And in the Old Testament, it says, "I hope for your salvation." That was in Psalm 119. And primarily, a lot of times when the word salvation is used in the Old Testament, it's thinking of a physical deliverance from adversaries. Now, this is the context in Psalm 62. And David writes, "My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him." And then it says, "He only is my rock and my salvation." My deliverance. He's was David's deliverance. Remember in the story and in the book of Lamentations that Jeremiah writes, Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. And he writes Lamentations, this lament. It's after the enemies of Israel had destroyed Jerusalem. And all the devastation of disaster and loss of life. And Jeremiah writes in Lamentations 3, "Remember my affliction and my wandering." And then in dropping down to verse 21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope." In the midst of all the disaster, Jeremiah could say, "I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease." His loving kindness, his unfailing love, does not cease. And he goes on, "For your compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I have hope." And he goes on down and says this in verse 26, "It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord." Now we know that doesn't mean everybody is ultimately delivered from every heartbreak in life. But God has a way of using even the darkest hours to bring about that which is for the good of his children. It does not mean life is without pain. But for the believer in the Lord, there is a hope that goes beyond the pain. You know, it says in Romans 8:28, "All things work together. All things work together for good to those who love God." To those who have trusted in Christ, to those who love God, God can take even the ugliest of situations, even the most painful of things, and work them together. Not that God makes bad things, but God can take bad things and work them together, work them into a way that it is for the good of his children. And part of that is transforming us in our character. Part of, as the passage, if we had time to go there, part of what is expressed there. But God works even terrible things. He can bring them about. Not that he caused them, but he works terrible things sometimes to bring about something ultimately and in eternity will be for the good of his children. But that takes faith to believe that. And hope, remember, hope is not something we're experiencing at the moment as it, in the sense of deliverance at the moment. It's something we're anticipating in the future. Now, as we think of this concept, and then we move into the New Testament, it's not just that God will have a physical, you know, deliverance, or that he'll work all things together in a sense that are the good at the moment, or even in our transformation, but it has a sense of salvation that extends not only into the physical realms, but into the spiritual realities. And we think of this passage, and we've read this several times, but I come back to it, and I just want to go to it and incorporate the concept of our salvation. Remember in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, born again to a living hope. This is a wonderful passage. I love going there. But then it says in verse 5 of 1 Peter 1, who are protected believers by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. A salvation hasn't been revealed yet. It's ready to be revealed in the last time. It's coming. It's ahead of us. It's not here yet. Now, in anticipation of the salvation, this spiritual reality, what God has ahead for us, we need to remember it and hold on to it, and that brings hope. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8, it says, for since we are of the day, believers, those who know the Lord, let us be sober spiritually, having put on the breastplate of faith and love. In other words, these characteristics were to have grow in our faith and our love. And as a helmet, is a picture of a soldier with a helmet, the hope of salvation, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation. So there's a salvation coming, and we need to remember that. We need to have a confident expectation that it's coming, and that gives us a helmet. You know, you think of a helmet, something you put on. A soldier in that time would have put on. He was a warrior, and he had to protect his head, so he had put on a helmet to protect him. And the picture of this helmet in this context is hope, the hope of salvation that's coming. But, you know, we need that hope. It doesn't mean the day may be a great day. It may be an awful day. But God has something ahead for us. And we need to hang on to that hope. We need to put that hope on. I remember my dad told the story when he was in high school. And this is years and years ago. My dad now is with the Lord. But anyway, he was in high school, and they had a pretty good little football team. But they had these leather helmets. And so you can imagine, I don't know how much they really protected. But in Dad's case, he said, when the other team, a lot of times the other team, when they would kick off the football, and you know, your team would get the football, and then, of course, you're to run, you know, run to the other end. That's the goal. And so Dad said, though, their team, when they get the football, the guy get the football, first thing he would do, he would take that helmet, and he would throw it off, and he'd start running. I don't think they thought they needed the helmet very much. That is not what we're supposed to do in the spiritual realm. We need the helmet. And the picture is the helmet that we need to put on hope. Hope of something that's great that's coming. Salvation. Now let's think about this concept of salvation. The kind of thing we need to get through life, broken world as it is. One puts this statement together. I think it needs to be read. Live long enough, the writer says, and dreams important to you will shatter. Some will remain shattered. God will not glue together the pieces of every Humpty Dumpty who takes a great fall in your life. In some cases, the divorce will go through. The cancer will claim a loved one's life. The Alzheimer's will not be arrested, let alone reversed. If we are to discover a hope that continues through shattered dreams, that hope must be available to everyone regardless of their circumstances. We must find a hope available to sick people, poor people, lonely people, unnoticed people. We must discover a hope that thrives when dreams shatter, when sickness advances and poverty worsens and loneliness deepens and obscurity continues. So where do we find that kind of hope? That hope is found in the Lord, in the salvation that is ahead for His kids. We desperately need to put on this helmet of hope. Now, let's think of the salvation and think of the facets of salvation. One of the concepts that he's dealing with is salvation of the wrath that will come in the tribulation. You know, we think of tribulation, we think even of this pandemic that we're now facing, and it's terrible, it's terrible. But you know, there's coming a day that will even be worse because there will be more things involved, more illnesses, and more terrible acts that will happen in what we call a seven-year tribulation period. But for the believer, there is salvation from that tribulation period, that seven-year unbelievably terrible time. One has said, Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 4, we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we shall always be with the Lord. That's in 1 Thessalonians 4. In the context of this book, in chapter 1, verse 10, it says, Jesus who rescues us from the wrath to come. You know, it's a wonderful thing that the believer, the person who puts her faith in Christ, will not have to go through that terrible, terrible time. That's part of our salvation. That's not the whole, but it's part of it. And that's part of that helmet we put on of hope. I don't have to go through that. Christ is coming for me, taking me home before that happens. That's part of what God holds for us. And it's called the blessed hope. When the Lord comes and He takes us, when he takes us, that hope, that blessed hope, that awesome hope. Wonderful, wonderful. Now, of course, the wrath of the seven-year period, for those who never receive Christ, never trust Christ, and when they die, when they pass on, they will then move from wrath in this world to the eternal separation from God forever. You know, it says of what will be experienced when people leave this world who refuse to receive Christ. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, dealing out retribution, the Lord will do this, to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus, those who have resisted Christ, those who have, you know, they've just denied Him every step of the way. And it says, and these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction. They will be forever and ever separated from God. Don't let that be your situation. Don't stay separated from God. Receive Christ to be your Savior. But for those who refuse this salvation, there's no blessed hope. There's no wonderful view of what's ahead. Come to Christ so that hope is yours. And you can put on that assurance, that helmet of salvation to protect you, to encourage your heart as you walk through life. Now, let's just think of some of the things that are involved in this wonderful salvation that we're looking forward to. Obviously, one of them, we think of this, is eternal life. Whoever believes in the Lord Jesus has life, eternal life. And we when a person trusts Christ, when they realize their need for Christ and they trust him as their Savior, at that point they receive eternal life, but they don't know the fullness of it yet. And this passage in Titus 1, it says this, in hope of eternal life. In other words, the idea is, we have eternal life now, but there's coming a day we'll know the fullest expression of that life. We'll know the immense enormity of how wonderful it is. And we will enjoy it in the presence of the Lord. Life, the fullness of life in that relationship. And that is in the presence of God. As one writes, John the writer, John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. That's eternal life in the ultimate. Now let's think of another thing. And that is the resurrection of our bodies. This is one of those things where we can anticipate, we can have great confidence in, the expectation that we're going to have a new body. In Romans 8, it says this, we ourselves groan within ourselves. This is the now, right? Whatever you're going through, you know, the pain, that you know, just the agony. I know somebody right now awaiting surgery and other people who are battling cancer. And says, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly, anticipating that looking forward. And it says, for the redemption of our body, the redemption of our body. And then Paul writes, again in Romans 8:25, we hope for what we do not see. With perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. Looking forward to a day, you know, that this as Paul writes again in 1 Corinthians 15, this perishable will put on imperishable. This mortal will put on immortality. Wow. You know, we go through life and you live very long, you have some kind of medical issue, right? And some people have pain that just will not go away. But you know what? There's coming a day for the believer that this perishable body is going to be replaced with the imperishable. I love what Revelation tells us in verse in chapter 21, verse 4. It says, no longer be any death, and there'll no longer be any mourning, crying, or pain. Can you imagine that? No more pain. No more tears. No more mourning. There was a man who was in ministry, and he went on a short-term missions trip to Trinidad. He was involved in a service in a leper colony on the island of Tobago. They had a service, and they'd had some songs, and they had time for one more song. And so just ask those who were there in this leper colony, we might say, if anybody had a song they would like. And it said there was a woman who had been facing away from the pulpit during their time, so they couldn't see her face. But when they asked for the song, that woman turned where the man leading the ministry at that moment could see her face. And this is what was said. It was the most hideous face I have ever seen. The woman's nose and ears were entirely gone. The disease had destroyed her lips as well. She lifted a fingerless hand into the air and mumbled, can we sing, count your many blessings? The man in ministry was so overwhelmed with what he saw and what she said. He had to just step out. He didn't know what to do. He just stepped off the stage and he walked out the door for a moment. Another man followed him who was also involved in that ministry. And he came out, and after the lead individual kind of caught his composure, the other man said, I bet you'll never sing that song again. He said, "Oh, no, I'll sing that song again, but never in the same way." You see, that dear little lady who was decimated by leprosy knew something there was hope ahead. Count your many blessings. Not because of the present, but because of the future. You know, you may be going through a time and you think, "Oh God, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can get through this." But you know what? God loves you, even in the midst of pain, because he has something great for you ahead. And God says, put on that helmet of hope. Put on the helmet. Something great coming. Now, part of also that's coming is a new home. Heaven. In Colossians 1, it says, the hope laid up for you in heaven. I love, when I think back, as I was growing up, Dad had built a nice home for my mom, and it was a great place, and not so much because of the building, although it was nice, but because of my parents loved each other, and it's a warm place, great place to grow up. What a blessing! But that building, that home, was it meant a lot to me. And, of course, you know, as I grew up and I went off to university and I was kind of living, doing my own stuff, you know, and getting education. And I remember one day the phone rang and Dad was on the other end. And he said, "Don, we've sold the house and we're going to move." And I remember feeling, selling the house. How can you sell the house? The house I grew up in as a kid. I had such great memories of that house. You know, no matter where you live, how nice it is or not nice, it's not permanent. But our home in heaven is permanent. One has said, we have a permanent inheritance, a secure home in heaven. Nothing can destroy it, defile it, diminish it, or displace it. Your Heavenly Father will just say, "Hey, we're moving. The house is gone." No. It's our home is awaiting us, those who know the Lord Jesus. The Lord said, "I go and prepare a place for you." If you've trusted Christ, you have a place. You have a place. Just two lines of a famous poem said, "Stepping on the shore and finding it heaven, of waking up and finding it I remember a missionary who had got to know over the years, and he wrote this in a letter that he sent out. He said he and his dad were walking through the woods, and as they were going along, it got dark. They stayed out apparently too long, and he, just as a little guy, was concerned. They're lost. But his dad had the ability to kind of look at the stars and kind of, you know, look around, figure out where they were at and where they needed to go. And he said to his son, "I know the way. I know the way." And this missionary, who was just a little boy at the time, said, "Man, that brought peace to my heart," because Dad knew the way. But then the missionary made this application. He said, "Knowledge of our ultimate destination helps us face trials with joy in the knowledge that we are on our way home." On our way home. Do you have that assurance? The Lord Jesus loves you. He died for you. And he wants you to come home, ultimately to be with him. What a wonderful anticipation that we have. As Paul said, to be with Christ is far better than anything in this world. Far better. Heaven is our hope because it's our future home. You know, I've driven past, I remember one time driving past down a street, and beautiful home on the outside, but there were police cars in the front. You know, I thought to myself, there's something really wrong in that home, something really wrong. You can have a beautiful building and a lousy home, but you know, God has something that's awesome for us ahead. And it's not only going to be beautiful on the outside, it'll be wonderful for those who are there in it. May that be true for all of us. One has said, wherever we go in heaven, we'll be able to enjoy the unhindered fellowship of the Lord. You see, heaven's not just a place, but it's ultimately a relationship with the Lord who is in that place. And we will be able to draw near to him. The same writer goes on to say, however great the wonders of heaven, God himself is heaven's greatest prize. You see, many, many dear people are going through hard, in many cases, terrible times. We think of what goes on around the world. But you know, for the person who's put their trust in Christ, we have so much to look forward to. So much. We can put on that helmet of hope and we look forward and say, oh God, thank you for the salvation that is ours, that we're waiting for, that's coming. A new home. And in the presence of the sovereign God who loves us, it cannot get better than that. You see, no matter where we're at, if we know the Lord Jesus, we have the ultimate hope. May we put on the helmet of hope, that assurance, that confident expectation that God has something amazing, awesome, wonderful for us, for each one of us who have our faith in Christ. If you've never trusted him, today's the day, right? Don't put it off. And then if you trust him as your Savior, you can put on that helmet of hope. And have confidence, that confident expectation that he has great things ahead for his kids. Don't leave without the helmet of hope. Let's just pray. God, you are so wonderful. You know, you didn't make sin. You didn't cause sin. This is a broken, sinful world. And our heart breaks for those who are suffering today. But Father, we pray that many, many, many people will come to trust in the Lord Jesus as their Savior and then have that confidence of that hope that is in him. May all of us be reminded, all of us who are kids, who are children of God, may we be reminded of our hope and put on the helmet of hope, that confidence of the salvation that is ahead for us. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.